Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy. Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. Not only is it Thursday, it is opening day of the Major League Baseball season, just as we've all come to expect it. On July 23rd, opening day for Major League Baseball. Jason Longshore fills in for Randy McMichael again today and tomorrow. Good morning to you, Jason. How are you?
What's up, Andy? How are you?
Things are good, man. It's a weird reality that we live in. I think if you can get used to that, I think we're doing our best to get used to it. And, you know, one of the weird things about this time as a sports fan is, opening days and the things that you've gotten used to and the traditions that you've gotten used to and, you know, the routines that happen on the calendar for sports fans have been completely thrown into disarray with everything that's going on in the world right now, which we all understand. What's fun is trying to make a new tradition or, I don't know, make slightly normal what really isn't. And I know the Braves start their season tomorrow. We'll be all over that today and tomorrow getting ready for it. But Major League Baseball, as a regular season, as a 60-game regular season, starts tonight. And as unusual as that is, it's also really exciting. And you think back over the last couple of months of not having anything and waiting for this, it's almost surreal to have actually finally gotten here to the day where professional baseball is going to be played and it's going to count and it's going to matter. It's great.
Isn't it so 2020 that the weather looks awful in Washington tonight and it's probably going to get delayed at some point?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you guys, that first Atlanta United game, right? Like we waited all these weeks, all these months for Atlanta United to come back. And then of course a storm rolls in and you guys, how long did it last? It was an extra hour and 45 minutes or something like that.
We thought it was going to be an hour off. And 45. It ended up being about an hour. So it wasn't too bad, but
still,
yeah, it's 2020. It's just what it is.
Yeah. And that's the only way you can really look at it. Right. I mean, cause if you try to, I think we've gotten past the trying to make things normal part of this as sports fans, and because trying to do that, you're just going to drive yourself insane. It just isn't going to be.
If you look at what's going on in this baseball, you know, opening day and the storylines today, if you were in a coma and you awoke today, at first you'd be confused why today's opening day, but second, you have a team that doesn't have a home ballpark right now.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
And you had rumors emerge last night that the playoff format could include over half the league, and it's not decided upon yet. And first pitch is in less than 12 hours.
Yeah.
What?
No, that's an excellent point. Exactly right. As weird as weird could be, the Toronto Blue Jays, I guess, aren't going to be able to play in Pittsburgh. Looked yesterday like maybe they were going to. The state of Pennsylvania said, nah, we're not really comfortable with you guys doing that since you've been in Florida. So now maybe Baltimore is the destination for the Blue Jays. Maybe they stay in Florida.
There's so many possibilities. Hartford has come up and said, yeah, we'd like to have you. And
Hartford.
I think New York has been mentioned. Okay. You've got just a ton of issues with those games have to be broadcast. So a minor league park would make a lot of sense because there's nowhere to play, but you know, are you going to be able to broadcast games for national TV and for Canadian TV out of a minor league park? Maybe not.
Yeah, and that's another interesting wrinkle to tonight as well. I know ESPN is doing the games tonight, so it'll at least be semi-close to what we've seen in some of these exhibition games that they've had on TV. But Fox is going to put digitally manufactured crowds onto their broadcasts. I know Fox has been putting crowd noise under their MLS games as mm-hmm. well. Personally, I prefer what ESPN had done. I preferred just hearing what's actually happening there. I understand the argument for crowd noise. I think it was okay. In some of the Fox games I watched, I think it's okay. But I've preferred just, let's just embrace the weird. Let's be honest about that this isn't different. Like, crowd noise and fake fans and all that stuff, I get why you would think about doing that, but not for me. But Fox is going to do that in some baseball games. So they're going to have digitally manufactured crowds, which, as we've said many times in the first 5 minutes of today's show, is just another example of how weird this all is.
A big announcement today about enhanced crowds that are not real. It's video game crowds. That's what we're going to be looking at on these games on Fox with the enhanced crowd noise. I've heard games from all over the world since soccer came back, and you've seen some countries and some broadcasters, I think, do a really good job with that pumped in crowd noise. It's all about the mix and it's all about the timing, because you've seen in the Premier League, which you would expect to be pretty good with that, it feels mistimed and it feels like it's not mixed well. It feels like when you go to the club and you get the DJ with a really awkward transition. That's what it feels like sometimes, from cheering to booing or cheering to whistling at the referee. And it's just this hard cut that doesn't make any sense. When it works, it's okay. It doesn't bother me. When it doesn't work, it detracts from the broadcast. And that's the problem, is you can't guarantee that you're going to get the timing right. You can't guarantee how that's going to feel in the broadcast. And the look with the fake fans in the stands, I think it looks better with the cardboard cutouts than with video game crowds.
Yeah, I do too. I think, again, it's actually real. Like, the cardboard cutout isn't a real person, but it's a real thing that's actually there in the stands. And it's just another reminder of where we're at. Like, having fake crowds there feels to me like you're trying to lie to yourself. You know? Like, no, man, don't. Like, it's a really weird time. The season's going to be shorter. And players can't spit or give each other high fives or do any of the, I mean, they can do some of the normal things, but not a lot of the normal things that they're used to doing. I was watching a game, I think it was the Braves game last night, and the Marlins pitcher had to go into his back pocket and use a little wet rag to wet his fingertips down, because you're not allowed to lick your fingers or even take your hand to your face. And the hard part about that is it's so natural. We talked about this yesterday with Nick Green. Like, if you're a Major League Baseball player, you've played thousands of baseball games in your life. Maybe not thousands of Major League games, but minor league games and college games and all growing up. And there's just stuff that you normally do, you know?
There's such a routine to it.
If it's 96 degrees outside, you might wipe your brow. But you're not allowed to do that right now. So, I don't know. Embracing all of the differences, I think, is going to be a big part of it, because you have to. You have no other choice. Us as fans, them as players, broadcasters as well. And you brought it up, Jason, how weird it's going to be for broadcasters calling these games. Most of us haven't done that in this environment or at all. I mean, most people have never actually called live play-by-play before. Even less people have done it in the last few months. You have. How did you guys go about making the decisions that you guys made for the broadcast?
It's
what sound to use and all that kind of stuff.
It's so strange, because you know, it's one thing if you're there, and I've done both during this. I called Atlanta United 2 from Kennesaw, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, mm-hmm. with no fans in the stands, but we were there. So that felt pretty normal. It was weird to me because I love hearing the crowd noise. I kind of feed off of it in the broadcast. It helps you feel the match, feel the emotion a little bit. So not having that threw me a little bit. But other than that, I could see everything. And my role, I need to see more than a TV producer is going to give me. I want to see who's warming up over on the sideline. I want to see, you know, the run off the ball. I want to see, you know, how the defense organizes on a play. I want to see more than just what's going out on TV. So I was able to do that in the stadium without fans. But for our games with Atlanta United, we're calling it from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're seeing what everybody at home sees. So it's a different feel entirely. Mike and I have called some games from a monitor before. We did some of the preseason. We did the CONCACAF Champions League game because we couldn't broadcast from Honduras. And it's a different feel. I think one of the hardest things, and I've noticed it on some of the broadcasts from around the world during all of this, is the emotion is completely different. You know, if you're in the venue and you can see everything, you feel it more. If you're not, you can feel very detached, and sometimes the broadcast can feel very detached, and you have to find a way to make it feel as normal as possible. I think with Mike and I, we're lucky because we have such good chemistry, and we just, you know, rapid fire during the game back and forth, so we kind of get there on our own. But it's hard. I think baseball, it'll be very hard for announcers who are not in the ballpark. When their team's on the road, they're probably going to be calling it from their home stadium, watching on a monitor. That's tough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the hardest thing, and I think the biggest mistake, is you're trying to manufacture that emotion, right? I mean, with the crowd noise, it just happens. If something big happens, then the crowd reacts, and there's that obvious feeling, that obvious moment in the stadium. Well, that's not going to be there. And I just feel like some announcers are going to feel like it's their job to try to oversell it, and then it kind of gets awkward, and then, I don't know. It's not a job that I would want, I'll be honest with you. It's not going to be an enviable position.
It's hard.
Especially if the team's bad. Like, if you're the Royals play-by-play announcer this season, damn. Like, that's just going to be a long season. Now, as far as that goes, though, you mentioned this earlier about how they're still toying with the idea of expanding the baseball playoffs before the season actually starts tonight. I think they should. I think they should take it from 10 to 16. And the reason is this. There's going to be teams whose schedule is so drastically easier than other teams' schedules because of how weird this year is and how, you know, you're only playing regional. The Cleveland Indians play the Tigers, the Royals, and the Pirates almost 50% of the games that they play. Those teams are bad. Like, the Indians could win 40 games this year out of 60 just from the bad schedule they play. Conversely, the Braves play the Yankees and the Nationals and all these really good teams. I think expanding the playoffs evens the playing field a little bit. I think they should do it. I think they will. I think they'll do it before first pitch tonight. We're hanging out on opening day of Major League Baseball. On July 23rd, Jason Longshore is in for Randy McMichael. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending next. There's a lot going on. There's more baseball to talk about. Mookie Betts got paid yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Smoke to right. Cooper back. Still going at the wall. Riley's got a two-homer game.
There you have it. Austin Riley yesterday with two homers as the Braves play their second of two games against the Miami Marlins to get ready for this 60-game season, which starts tomorrow for the Braves in New York against the Mets. Baseball itself starts today. But it was great to see what Austin Riley did yesterday, especially when we found out yesterday midday that Johan Camargo is dealing with a hamstring issue, that Johan Camargo isn't going to be able to be on the field for a little bit. We don't know how long. Hopefully we find out more today. But Austin Riley is going to be the starting third baseman tomorrow when things get going for the Atlanta Braves. good to see him hit two home runs yesterday. Very encouraging, especially the way that he did it. So a good way to end things yesterday for Austin Riley and the Braves.
These bats are going to be vital right now. I'm a little worried about the pitching. You're going to have to get this hitting straight out of the gate because every game is so meaningful in the short season.
Yeah. You sent me a great article this morning from Jason Stark on The Athletic. And I mean, anytime he writes anything about baseball, season preview, whatever, I'm a big fan of it. But he went through some of the numbers that are going to really be important in this shortened season. And we hit on it yesterday, but he really drove it home. The number is 2.7, which is how much more each game is worth than a normal game in a normal season, because 60 games is a lot less than 162 games. Every game is worth 2.7 games. So a loss is a much bigger deal. A series loss is a really big deal. Getting swept is a disaster. And a losing streak, I mean, a bad enough losing streak could take you out of contention. Now, the good thing could be if baseball makes the decision today, which I think they're going to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams. My initial reaction to that was, damn, that's more than half the league. Why would they do that? But then when you think about how weird team schedules are, how lopsided some team schedules are, it makes sense. And when you think about it from a revenue standpoint, Jason, the playoffs are where the teams are going to be making the majority of their TV money this year. And more teams mean more games, mean more playoffs, mean more money. So it seems good for everybody. But absolutely, if you can get off to a good offensive start, because everyone we've talked to, we're going to talk to Brian Jordan in an hour from now, from Fox Sports South. Every Braves analyst we've talked to leading into this season has said the same thing. The pitching is going to be ahead of the hitting when the season starts. Hitters just haven't seen enough live action to be up to speed the way that they normally would be coming out of spring training. But if you can somehow beat that, if you can somehow have some guys get hot or whatever and put runs on the board, then that's really going to help you get off to a good start, because you have to. I mean, if you're going to have a good season, you got to get off to a good start in a 60-game sprint.
See, I'm fascinated how this is going to play out, because you're used to having 6 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
You've got three.
Yeah.
The pitching, as we're seeing here, I don't know if in every case it will be ahead. And teams that might not have as much depth in their pitching staff, both in the starting rotation and coming out of the bullpen, they might really struggle early on. The two starters we've seen for the Braves in these two games, not exactly convincing.
Yeah, it hasn't been amazing. Folty certainly was not good, and then his reaction to it was even worse. Kyle Wright was okay yesterday, but not great. At least he didn't blame it on the bullet, like the scoreboard, or whatever.
Step in the right direction.
Like Folty did. Yeah, it was a step in the right direction. The real frustrating thing at the end of the game, and I think you are technically obligated by 92.9 the game rules to get mad right now.
I am.
Luke Jackson. Yeah, you have to get, because Luke Jackson didn't do well, and Randy's out, and you're filling in for him. So you got to yell. You got to say something mean about, you can't say Luke Jackson's name, but like you gotta disparage him because of the way that he pitched yesterday.
He's got to get it together, right? He's absolutely got to get this together. Is that good enough? It's still early.
That's pretty Jason Long short, like pretty nice.
I mean, it's me.
It is you. It's you. Now you're right. Trying to do a Randy impression.
I can't rip off his gimmick now.
No, you
I mean,
can't.
That would be insulting.
I was, and I think many people were, thinking of Randy yesterday when Luke Jackson came into the game and did not pitch.
Oh, well. I saw the tweets.
Yeah, that dang 77. That's as close as I will get as well. Yeah, like you and me aren't really well suited to do what Randy does when it comes to talking about
Luke
Jackson.
You can't rip off a man's gimmick.
No,
that is Randy.
No, that's him. It's 100% him. That said, he's got to be better too. Like the bullpen is really going to be a big deal. One thing that people seem to not know or remember or whatever is that Mark Melancon is the closer of this team. I know that Will Smith was signed and has been a closer in the past, but the entire spring and up until yesterday, Brian Snicker has planned on Mark Melancon being the closer. Will Smith not being available right now doesn't change that plan. A lot of people freaking out because there was a false report that Luke Jackson was going to be the temporary closer while Will Smith was out. That's not true. Mark Melancon is and was the closer and will be until further notice, and he would have to lose that job. What we don't know is what's going on with Will Smith. He was tweeting along with the game yesterday, which was fun. And he's a pretty good follow on Twitter. But remember when they first reported, Freddie and Tukey and Pete Cosma and Will Smith all had the coronavirus. Well, Freddie and Tukey are back. Will Smith isn't. And hopefully he gets back as soon as possible. A, just you hope he's healthy. But B, you spent a whole bunch of money on that guy this offseason to be a big part of that bolstered bullpen. And it's a short season. So every game that he misses is 2.7 games that he's missing in a normal year. So hopefully Will Smith gets back ASAP. But Mark Melancon is the closer. Speaking of paying people a whole bunch of money, let's hear from really rich Mookie Betts.
It's obviously a special day. It's kind of what I've been working for my whole life. My family has been a part of this. And this is the day that we've been dreaming about, and for it to come true is definitely a blessing. Super happy to be a part of this organization for the rest of my career. And, you know, this is just an amazing, amazing opportunity that I'll never forget.
Yeah, I bet. What a day. Yeah. You get a $365 million contract, 12 years added on to the one that he's got right now with the Dodgers, and you're probably going to be pretty happy. I still don't understand at all what the Red Sox were doing or thinking. I did think that Mookie Betts was going to play 1 year with the Dodgers and then maybe hit the open market and see if he could get people bidding against one another. But if the Dodgers are willing to throw that kind of money at you, you take it. He did yesterday. Kudos to him.
I think in the previous sports world that we had before this pandemic, he would have done that. He would have played out the contract, went in for a huge bidding war. But you don't know what that bidding war is going to look like now, and you get this kind of contract put in front of you and you're secure, done. You take it.
Yeah, you take it. The other thing that I always think of when I see these massive contracts, Mike Trout got his, Bryce Harper got his last offseason, Yelich, you name it. All the guys that you think of as the best of baseball, Mookie Betts is one of them, is the contract that the Braves have Ronald Acuna on. I'm not one to criticize Acuna or his agent or anyone in his camp for taking that deal. $100 million is a lot of money. But the Braves have Ronald Acuna for 8 more seasons, and they never have to pay him more than $17 million per. When Ronald Acuna is Mookie Betts' age, he'll still have 4 more years on this contract with the Braves. And if Ronald Acuna continues on the trajectory that he's on, I mean, he's already considered in that category with these guys. I mean, he's going to be one of those $300 to $400 million a contract players. And the Braves got him for $100 million. I mean, it becomes more and more amazing that they were able to do that every single time one of these big deals gets done. Now, he's going to get another big deal. Like, Ronald Acuna will get one of those deals eventually. But the fact that the Braves don't have to worry about that for the next handful of years is really great. Ozzie Albies, too. But Ronald Acuna, you know, to have him, and he's thought of as the odds-on favorite in a lot of sports books to be the MVP of the National League this shortened season. It makes me very happy that the Braves were able to get that done.
It looks even better right now because it gives you more flexibility. You know, you can kind of ride it out. You don't have to worry about his contract coming up. You can ride it out. You can see where the business goes over the next few years. And then once you get on the other side of all this and the business returns and fans are back in the stands and all the sponsorship numbers are up, then, you know, you can talk about extending it or doing a new deal. But you've got plenty of time on that. You're in complete control. And for a team that has limited spending power and isn't wanting to spend like the Dodgers are in Mookie Betts, that gives you more opportunities to make the ball club better.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with all these young guys, if 50% of the young guys hit the way that you think that they're going to with all the great young talent you have in this organization, you're going to have to pay some of these guys over the next few years. So not having to worry about Acuna in that way is really great. Speaking of fans in stands, the Falcons announced yesterday that they're expecting Mercedes-Benz Stadium seating capacity to be reduced to between 10,000 and 20,000. This year because of social distancing. I mean, that makes sense. The NFL also announced yesterday that any fans in attendance will be required to wear a face mask. That also makes sense. I'm still hopeful that 10 to 20,000 fans will be allowed in the stadium. I kind of have a hard time believing that they will, but if they are, then that's what the numbers are going to be for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's still early when you start looking at games being played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium because, you know, preseason, by all accounts, you're not going to see that. I don't think you'd see fans in the stands if you had preseason games anyway. There's no reason to do that. When you get into the regular season, you know, you want some semblance of a home field advantage. You want some revenue coming in the door. You want some kind of an atmosphere. And if you're able to do it, you know, this is how it's going to look. I don't think you'll see full stadiums in this calendar year. Although you never know how this thing's going to go once we get later in the year. Maybe it starts with 10 to 20. Maybe it opens up. Maybe it comes backwards. There's just no way to call it right now.
Yeah, and every league and seemingly every state is handling it differently. The state of Alabama announced yesterday their plans for high school football. No delays start, no change to the schedule, and stadiums at full capacity. So, okay. And Georgia is going to delay a couple weeks. California is going to play starting in December or January. Like, every state is doing it differently. Before we get out of here and what's trending, you want to quickly hear a basketball highlight? There's basketball highlights yesterday. Let's do it.
Olynyk down with a rebound. That should be the final rebound of this game, with the Heat winning it as the clock runs out. Miami wins their first of three scrimmage games. They beat the Kings 104-98.
Basketball also coming back next week.
I love this format for basketball. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited too. I mean, it looked weird yesterday watching some of the highlights from these games. Like, because they're playing in those tiny little practice facilities.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, whatever it takes to get them back out on the court and playing, I'm all for. Basketball comes back next week. The Braves come back tomorrow. Baseball itself comes back today. Said this earlier in the week about Atlanta United, but we made it. We made it to where live sports are actually being played and they count. We'll come back. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian Gebhardt. And we'll tell you how I'm now friends with Tom Arnold. That's right. Tom Arnold. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If anybody can do it, I think the NCAA will probably be able to do it. All right, we'll get to an NFL No Huddle coming up, 15 minutes. Brian Jordan going to join us at 11:20, further getting ready for the Braves opening day tomorrow. But let's get to Brian Gebhardt. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by the Yams Committee and all of its members, Brian Gebhardt, every single day at 10:45. By the way, and I know Randy's on vacation, I'm not going to bother him, don't need him to do anything while he's out there hanging out. He did send a quick tweet yesterday, though, Jason.
I'm still confused, though.
I am, too. But I didn't want to follow up with him just because I didn't want to bug him while he's on, you know, while he's away.
Is it under consideration?
I think your Yams committee membership is under consideration because he tweeted out the gif of like a king or something saying, hear ye, right? Mm-hmm. Which is how Randy inducts people into the Yams committee. But he didn't officially do it.
No.
And so, I mean, you're in like the application. You're on the waiting list, maybe?
I'm still, you know, trying out, I guess.
Yeah, you're a pledge, I guess.
Oh, that scares me.
There's no hazing that I know of, but I don't know.
Oh, now I'm afraid.
You never know with Randy.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Hey, Brian.
I wouldn't want to be a Randy McMichael pledge.
No.
That'd be a
how much can you drink thing. Would really be the question.
Like, I'm going to die.
Yeah, how much hot liquor could you drink early and often? So. big deal, small deal, no deal. A budding friendship between Tom Arnold and Andy Bunker. So let me explain a little bit. So on Monday night, Andy tweeted out the following. My lovely wife, who is 8 months pregnant and should be cut some slack, just called an Arnold Palmer a Tom Arnold. What would a Tom Arnold even be? And he got some really great responses and a lot of comments from the tweet. What were some of the responses you got there, Andy?
I think my favorite two were from Abe Gordon, the producer of The Morning Show, who said, Tom Arnold is just an Arnold Palmer, but with cocaine in it. as we all know, he's struggled. And then Kelly Quinlan, the Georgia Tech reporter, said a Tom Arnold would be Boone's Farm, Strawberry Quick, and also cocaine. So I think I'm just a sucker for the cocaine joke. People had a lot of fun with it. Got a lot of responses to that. And again, to be fair to Ashley, it was hilarious that she said that. She's been doing a lot of that lately. I think there's a thing called pregnancy brain where you just kind of, I don't know, there's a lot going on, you know? You got a lot on your mind. and you just kind of get your words scrambled and thoughts scrambled. There's been a lot of really funny stuff said around here over the last couple of weeks. That was probably the funniest, so I thought I'd tweet it.
So in the middle of the night last night, Tom Arnold himself follows up on the tweet and tweets at Andy the following. Mazel tov to you and your lovely wife on the birth of your child next month. Your friends, on the other hand, suck. Everyone knows my drink is made with Powerade, Gatorade, and Everclear 151 grain alcohol. So big deal, small deal, no deal.
You know, it's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
I think it's a big deal. Me and Tom Arnold, I mean, I've never had celebrity actor friend before, but now Tom Arnold and I think are, like you said, Brian, a budding friendship. Now, I don't know what list, you know, you got A list, you got B list. I don't know what list Tom Arnold falls on.
A list all of its own.
Maybe not A or B. I don't know how far down the alphabet you have to go, but I'll take it. I was looking at Tom Arnold's IMDb page, by the way. Damn. Like, it's, I mean, credit to the man. He's been working. He's been doing movies steady since the early 90s. Like, there is not a gap in his career. He has continued to churn out projects and be involved in stuff. But, man, it's a lot of credits and not a lot of stuff that you would want to have seen. Like, there was some okay stuff back in the 90s, like True Lies, good movie. God, what else? I don't know. He was on the show Malcolm and Eddie. Yeah, there's not a lot of great. He was in Austin Powers, I guess. Not a lot of great movies on the list, but I'll take it. Tom Arnold and me are buddies now.
If you had to watch one of those movies, which one would you go with?
God. I've already seen True Lies, so I'll take that one off the list. Oh, he's in Coneheads. I've seen that, too.
That's not bad.
Coneheads isn't bad. Yeah.
Yeah, Coneheads isn't bad, but he wasn't really in it. He was an uncredited golfer.
Oh, that doesn't count.
All right, if you have to pick a Tom Arnold movie from the last 10 years.
Okay.
I haven't heard any of these movies.
I don't know what these are.
Any Day. He was on the TV show Workaholics at one point. Sex School. I'm going to take that one. I'm going to watch the movie Sex School. Oh, my God. His character name was Principal Hyman. Great.
Wow.
I'm going to watch that movie. That's the one I'm going to watch.
And it's time to move on from the Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
All right. Big deal, small deal, no deal. The Blue Jays getting rejected by the state of Pennsylvania to play their games at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, leaving the team without a home 6 days away from their first scheduled home game.
You lead us off on this one, Jason.
It's a big deal. They're homeless.
Yeah, it is. They're homeless.
they don't have a place to play games, and their season starts. What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I feel bad for them. There's also another different conversation to be had about the fact that Canada won't let them play in Canada. But that probably, we don't have to get into that, I guess. They're vagabonds, man. Like, they don't have any place to go right now, and I feel bad for them.
These poor players and staff, they have nowhere to set up shop. It's crazy.
Well, also think about it like this. Like, we talked earlier about how certain teams have easier schedules. Like, the Cleveland Indians have a lot of bad teams on their schedule, just the way things geographically worked out in their division and all that. That's not true for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays got to play the Braves, the Nationals, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and they don't have a home ballpark. The Blue Jays might be the worst team in baseball this year just because of circumstance, just because of the cards that they've been dealt. I don't know. Baltimore, I guess. Somebody suggested Cooperstown. They just play at the field at Cooperstown.
Sure.
Whatever, man. Just find them a
home. The Field of Dreams Park out in Iowa? Go for it.
Yeah. Just find them someplace to go. I
feel
bad for those
guys.
Gypsy Blue Jays. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Half an hour away from Brian Jordan. He'll join us to get us ready for Braves. Braves season starts tomorrow. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it's a big deal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.